بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 23rd hadith from this blessed compilation, Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith of Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم. أبو مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه he narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tuhur shatrul iman. At-tuhur, purity, is a half of iman. Walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. And alhamdulillah, it fills the scales. Wa subhanallahi walhamdulillah, tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. And saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, they both, or it, fills whatever is between the heavens and the earth. وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ And الصَّلَاةُ, the prayer, is a light. وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ And charity is an evidence or a proof. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ And patience is al-diya, i.e. a warm light. وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ And the Qur'an is either an evidence for you or an evidence against you. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُ Each person leaves early in the morning. فَبَائِعُ نَفْسَهُ And every person sells his own self. فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا So he either frees his self or he destroys his self. رواهُ مسلم So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Abu Malik al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه And the name of this companion is differed over with the muhaddithun. The author Nawawi rahimullah He said his name is Al-Harith ibn Asim. Others said that his name was Ka'ab. Ka'ab ibn Asim al-Ash'ari. Others said his name was Amr. Or Amr ibn Harith ibn Hani al-Ash'ari. Whilst others said that his name was Al-Harith ibn al-Harith al-Ash'ari. And with some of the narrators, it is only Abu Malik al-Ash'ari. And some of them said, rather the narrator of the hadith or the name of the companion is Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, not al-Ash'ari. However, the most famous opinion is that his name is Ka'ab. The most famous opinion is that his name is not al-Harith, like al-Imam al-Nawawi we mentioned. Rather, it is Ka'ab. Ibn Asim al-Ash'ari and his lineage Ash'ari It goes back to the tribe Banu Ash'ar. And Banu Ash'ar Ash'ar was the name of a man, and his name was Nabat ibn Adar, going back to the tribe of Saba, i.e. in Yemen. So the Ash'ari people, or this tribe from whom Abu Malik radiallahu anhu came from, they were from the people of Yemen. And there are a group of companions who come from the tribe of Ash'ari, like the famous companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and like this companion Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, and also from the companions is Iyadh al-Ash'ari. So there is a large group of companions who have this lineage of Ash'ari. And this is because a number of companions, about 50 or so, they left Yemen on a ship. They embarked a ship to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept al-Islam. And all of them were from the tribe of Ash'ari, Banu Ash'ar. And many of them, if not all of them, were related to each other. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he himself mentions the story, and the story is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. He said, "Kharajna min al-Yamani fi bid'in wa khamsina min qawmi." He said, "We left Yemen about 50 people. Wa nahnu thalathatu ikhwa." And we were three brothers, i.e. Abu Musa and Abu Raham and Abu Amir, three brothers from this tribe, along with 50 other people. He said, فَأَخْرَجَتْنَا سَفِينَتُنَا إِلَى النَّجَاشِ. And our ship, instead of taking us to Al-Madina, it took us to Al-Najashi, i.e. Abyssinia. وَعِنْدَهُ جَعْفَرْ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. And at that time, Ja'far, i.e. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was in Abyssinia along with some of the companions. And this is when the companions, some of them had made the first hijrah from Mecca to Abyssinia to Habasha before making the hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and this group of 50 people from amongst the tribe of Banu Ash'ar, they met Ja'far radiallahu anhu and some of the companions in Habasha. They wanted to go to Al-Madinah. However, the winds took them to Al-Habasha. And then they remained in Al-Habasha until Fathu Khaybar. And when Khaybar was being conquered, then they went to Al-Madinah and they met with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, فَأَقْبَلْنَا حِينَ افْتُتِحَتْ خَيْبَرْ. And then when Khaybar was conquered, then we turned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they finally met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to them, لَكُمُ الْهِجْرَةُ مَرَّتَيْنِ. That you, ay Banu Ash'ar, you are from those people who have attained the reward of making the two hijras. Because first you made the hijrah from Yemen to Habasha, and then you made the hijrah from Habasha to Al-Madinah. He said, هَاجَرْتُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاشِ ثُمَّ هَاجَرْتُمْ إِلَيَّ. That first you migrated to Al-Najashi, like some of the companions did, and then you migrated to me. And this group, Ash'ari, and when we say Ash'ari, we're referring to the Qabila. We are not referring to that Aqeedah. Because that Aqeedah, it came over 300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his hijrah. So when we say Ash'ari, we are talking about 50 or so companions from the tribe of Banu Ash'ar. The famous Aqeedah, the famous group, the Ash'ariyya, this is 300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it goes back to Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. Al-Muhim, this tribe, the Ash'ari, or the Ash'ariya, or the Ash'a'ira, the tribe, the companions amongst them, they were beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to take special care and consideration of them. And he used to praise them a lot because of their truthfulness, because of their unity, how close they were to each other, because of their sincerity, because of how much they used to care for each other, and the fact that this was a group of people who embarked upon a ship in dangerous waters for the sake of al-Islam. And Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he mentions, قَدِمْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفَرٍ مِّنَ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ, that I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam along with a number of the Ash'ariyun. And this was at Khaybar. He said, فَأَسْهَمَ لَنَا مَعَ الَّذِينَ افْتَتَحُوهَا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave us a portion of the war booty like he did for the other companions who had conquered Al-Khaybar. Meaning out of the care and consideration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam towards them. And the Prophet, in more than one occasion, he said, Al-Ash'ariyun hum minni wa ana minhum. Ash'ariyun, they are from me and I am from them. And this statement, ana minhum wa hum minni, that I am from them and they are from me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say this to a number of people, especially those people who had come from outside of Al-Madinah and they didn't have families or businesses or properties in Al-Madinah. So he said regarding Salman Al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, ana minhu wa huwa minni, I am from him and he is from me. And he said regarding Julaybib radiallahu anhu, ana minhu wa huwa minni, I am from him and he is from me. And also he said regarding the Ash'ariyun, hum minni wa ana minhum, that they are from me and I am from them. And he said regarding them sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ni'mul hay al-asad wal ash'ariyun, that how good a tribe are Banu Asad and Banu Ash'ar, the Ash'ariyun. La yafirruna fil qital, that when it is the time of fighting, the time for the battle, they do not flee. وَلَا يَغِلُّونَ, and neither do they take anything from the war booty without permission. هُمْ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُمْ, they are from me and I am from them. And also in the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, it has been narrated by Al-Hakim and others, and Al-Albani considered it to be authentic in his silsala. He said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ, Anas said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَقْدِمُ عَلَيْكُمْ غَدًا أَقْوَامٌ هُمْ أَرَقُّ قُلُوبًا لِلْإِسْلَامِ مِنْكُمْ. The Prophet said that tomorrow a group of people will come to you, i.e. the companions in Al-Madinah. A group of people, they will come to you, O companions of Al-Madinah. And these people who are going to come to you, their hearts are more tender and more soft towards Islam than you, than even your hearts. Anas radiallahu anhu said, فَقَدِمَ الْأَشْعَرِيُّونَ, and so the next day, the Ash'ariyun, they came. وَفِيهِمْ أَبُو مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِي, and amongst them was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. فَلَمَّا دَنَوْا مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ, so when they approached Al-Madinah, جَعَلُوا يَرْتَجِزُونَ يَقُولُونَ, then they started saying and remarking, غَدًا نَلْقِ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَةِ, that tomorrow we will meet our beloved Muhammad and his group. فَلَمَّا قَدِمُوا الْمَدِينَةِ, so when they came and they arrived in Al-Madinah, تَصَافَحُوا, they started shaking hands. Anas radiallahu anhu said, فَكَانُوا هُمْ أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ الْمُصَافَحَةِ, that they were the first people who started with this tradition of shaking hands. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And this, as I mentioned, Al-Albani, he considered the hadith to be authentic in his silsila. And also in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. And then Allah will bring a group of people who love Him and He loves them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pointed towards Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and he said, هُمْ قَوْمُكَ يَا أَبَا مُوسَى. That this people, this group of people who Allah loves and they love Allah, they are your people, O Musa, O Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. وَأَوْمَأَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ أَبِي مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he pointed or signaled towards Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه when he said this. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned how together the Ash'ariyun are and how much they care for each other. He said, إِنَّ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ إِذَا أَرْمَلُوا فِي الْغَزْوَةِ. That the Ash'ariyun, if one of them dies, or if a widow is left behind due to a battle, أَوْ قَلَّ طَعَامُ عِيَالِهِمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ, or if the food which is within their families, if it is a little, جَمَعُوا مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ, then all of these families from the Ash'ariyun, they come together and they gather the food which they have and they place it on a single garment of cloth. ثُمَّ اقْتَسَمُوهُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي إِنَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ بِسَوِيَّةٍ. And then they distribute the food which they have equally amongst the different families. He said, فَهُمْ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُمْ. So they are from me and I am from them. Meaning that the Ash'ariyun, from one of the traits which they had, which was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was al-Ithar. And Ithar, it means to prefer another person. So even though you have a need for something, but you forego your need to help other people. Either they had a sense of community where they looked out for each other. So if they saw that there is a deficiency in food with one family, they would pool their resources together and then they would equally share out their food for each other. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love them for their worship. And this is why he said, هُمْ أَرَقُّ قُلُوبًا لِلْإِسْلَامِ مِنْكُمْ. That their hearts are more tender in Islam than you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ أَصْوَاتَ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ بِالْقُرْآنِ حِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ. He said, verily, I recognize the voices of the Ash'ariyun when they recite the Qur'an at night. He said, وَأَعْرِفُ مَنَازِلَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْوَاتِهِمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ بِاللَّيْلِ. He said, I also know the residence of the Ash'ariyun because I hear their voices reciting the Qur'an at night. So this shows also another trait of the Ash'ariyun was their ibadah and the recitation of the Qur'an. And these two companions, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, both of them, they were known for knowledge. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari more than Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, but both of them were known for their knowledge. And Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he narrated a number of ahadith. And from those ahadith is, لما حضرته الوفاة, that when death came to Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, he said, يا معشر الأشعريين. He said, O group of Ash'ariyin, ليبلغ الشاهد منكم الغائب. Let the one who is present convey this to those who are absent. إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, verily I heard the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم say, حلوة الدنيا مرة الآخرة, that the sweetness of this world is the bitterness of the hereafter. ومرة الدنيا حلوة الآخرة, and the bitterness of this world is the sweetness of the آخرة. Meaning, whoever desires only the sweetness of this world, then he will taste the bitterness of the Akhirah. And whoever is patient over the bitterness of this dunya, he will find the sweetness of the Akhirah. And this virtuous companion, Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he died 28 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the plague in Ash-Sham. So he was also from the Shamiyun. And he died during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So this hadith, this noble hadith narrated by this virtuous companion, it contains many benefits when it comes to the actions of a Muslim. The actions that we should do during our lifetime. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the actions of ibadah in the three different types. Because we have ibadatun qalbiyyah. We have acts of worship which go back to the heart of a person. Wa ibadatun qawliyyah. And ibadat which emanate upon the tongue of a person via statements. Wa ibadatun fi'liyyah. And ibadat which are upon the limbs. And this hadith, it combines all three of these types of ibadat. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, he said regarding this hadith, هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that this hadith, it is a great principle from the foundations of Al-Islam. قَدْ اشْتَمَلَ عَلَى مُهِمَّاتٍ مِنْ قَوَاعِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and it contains the core concept, and it contains important concepts from the foundations of our religion. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a number of statements. The first statement he said, "At-tuhuru shatrul iman," that at-tuhur, purification, this is shatrul iman, a nisful iman. It is a half of al-iman. How is purification a half of al-iman? The ulama, they say that iman is two parts. At-takhliyah wa at-tahliyah. At-takhliyah, it means to remove yourself from something or to purify yourself from certain manners. This is at-takhliyah. To remove something from yourself or to purify some matters from yourself. At-takhliyah. And the second part is at-tahliyah. And at-tahliyah is to adorn yourself with certain things. So from iman is removing shirk from yourself. From iman is negating kufr from yourself. And this is at-tahliyah. And this tahliyah is done through at-tahara, through purification. And as for at-tahliyah, adorning yourself, then it is adorning yourself with righteous actions. So Islam or Iman, it is at-tahliyah wa at-tahliyah, and at-tahliyah, it is at-tuhur, it is purification. And as for at-tahliyah, then it is doing righteous deeds. And this therefore shows us, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, at-tuhuru shatrul iman. That at-tuhur, purifying yourself from these matters, is a half of iman. We said iman is two parts. The first half is at-takhliyah, i.e. at-tuhur, and the second part is at-tahliyah, i.e. adorning yourself with righteous actions. And some of the ulama, they mention that shatrul iman, half of iman, purifying yourself, is purifying yourself from a shirk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described a shirk as being najasa, as being impurity. He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. The people of shirk, they are people of impurity. Because a shirk is filth and a najasa. And we know that in order to fulfill iman and fulfill at-tawheed, you have to combine between an-nafi wal-ithbat. You have to combine between negating something and affirming something. So you have to negate al-shirk, you have to negate al-kufr, you have to negate al-tawaghit, and at the same time you have to affirm the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. We said la ilaha illallah, it has two pillars. The first pillar is an-nafi, la ilaha. You have to negate worship of any other god or deity besides Allah. Illallah. Then the second pillar is al-ithbat. You have to affirm the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So negating and rejecting the false deities, this is at-tuhur. This is purifying yourself from ash-shirk. And then the second part is al-ithbat. So again we see that iman is an-nafi wal-ithbat. Iman is negating and affirming. And negating is at-tuhur. Negating is purifying yourself from al-kufr. And therefore, al-tuhur shatrul iman. Al-tuhur is a half of al-iman. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan. That saying alhamdulillah, it fills the scales. I.e. this statement of a person, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, making tahmid of Allah and mentioning the hamd of Allah, this is a great virtuous action. And even though it is light upon the tongue in this dunya, but in the akhirah it is heavy upon the mizan, upon the scales, i.e. the scales of justice. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That on the day of resurrection, we will place down the scales of justice. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And then no soul will be wronged or oppressed. So saying Alhamdulillah, even though it is light and easy in this world, but the reward of it is great in the Akhirah. And it will fill the scales of justice on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah? It is wasful mahmood bil kamal mahabbatan wa ta'zima. Like Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah mentioned, when a person says Alhamdulillah, it is wasful mahmood. You are describing the one you are praising, ay Allah, bil kamal, with perfection. When you say Alhamdulillah, then what you mean by this is every type of perfection and every statement of perfection is for Allah. And you say this out of mahabba and at-ta'zim. You say this out of your love of Allah and how much you exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this world, there's also madh, there's also praise. People praise each other. But sometimes people praise each other not because they love that person and they respect and honor that person, but it is false praise. So they want something from the dunya, from this person, so they will praise him. That you're such a nice person, you're such a generous person. Not because they believe this person is generous, but because they want something from him. They want to exploit this person. However, our hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like this. We make hamd of Allah because of our love for Him and because of how much we exalt, venerate and respect Him. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَسُبْحَانَ وَالْحَمْدُ تَمْلَآنِي أَوْ تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that subhanallah and alhamdulillah, both of them, they fill whatever is between the heavens and the earth. Or the Prophet said, it fills whatever is between the heavens and the earth. And this wording, the hadith, O tamla'u, that either the Prophet said, both of them fill, or he said, it fills, this was a doubt from the narrator of the hadith. The narrator of the hadith, he wasn't sure, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, tamla'ani, both of them fill? Or did he say tamla'u, it fills? So this doubt, this is not from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather it is from the narrator. The meaning is the same. The meaning is that when a person says alhamdulillah, and a person says, Subhanallah, the reward of this is so great that it fills that which is between the heavens and the earth. But this shows us how exact the narrators of the hadith were. That even though the meaning of the hadith is the same, whether the Prophet said tamla'ani or he said tamla'u, the meaning is the same. But the companion wanted to be exact in how he narrated the hadith. So he mentioned that I cannot remember whether the Prophet said tamla'ani or whether he said tamla'u. And this shows us how exact and precise the science of hadith is in al-Islam. And notice how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he combined between two things, Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. And this is because when a person says Subhanallah, he frees Allah from every deficiency. And when a person says Alhamdulillah, he affirms perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the difference between Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah is that Subhanallah is a tanzih. You are glorifying Allah above any type of imperfection. Subhanallah, it is tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa aib. When you say Subhanallah, you are saying, I glorify Allah, I free Allah above any type of deficiency and any type of weakness. So, Subhanallah, this is at-tanzih. This is removing and negating any deficiency from Allah. Alhamdulillah, this is affirming perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you negate imperfection from Allah, and then you affirm perfection for Allah, then this is the best type of perfection. The most complete praise is this, that you affirm perfection and you negate imperfection. And when we say Subhanallah, what are we negating from Allah? We are negating three types of deficiencies. When a person says Subhanallah, he's negating three types of deficiencies and imperfections from Allah. First of all, you negate from Allah that he has any attribute of imperfection. So, sifatul naqs, the attributes of imperfection are not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for example, we negate from Allah that he sleeps, because sleeping in the right of Allah who is divine is imperfection and weakness. We negate from Allah that he oppresses, because oppression is an attribute of deficiency. We negate from Allah that he becomes tired, because becoming tired is an attribute of deficiency. So any attribute of deficiency and imperfection, we negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, any attribute which Allah has, we negate any imperfection in this attribute. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the attribute of ilm, of knowledge. And we negate that the knowledge of Allah has any deficiency in it. It is perfect, complete knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his attributes is al-qudra, ability. And the ability of Allah is perfect and complete. So we negate any imperfection and deficiency from the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, we negate from Allah that anybody or anything is equal to him or anything resembles him. All of these three negations are found in Subhanallah. When you say Subhanallah, it is found in this. So the point is that when a person says Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, you are glorifying Allah from any imperfection, and then at the same time, you are affirming perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a lot in the Qur'an. In many, many ayat in the Qur'an, Allah combines between negating imperfections and affirming perfection. So Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing which is equal to Allah, so he frees from his own self any perfect imperfection or deficiency. Then he says, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearing, I perfect in his hearing, and the all-seeing, I perfect in his sight. So he negates a resemblance and any imperfection, and then he affirms perfection. And also we say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. Say, he is Allah, the One. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. And he is Allah, the Self-Sufficient. So here we affirm perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we say, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And he is not given birth to, neither does he give birth, and there is none who is comparable to Allah. So here we free Allah from any type of imperfection. And as I mentioned in many ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he affirms perfection for his own self, and he negates imperfection from his own self. And this is the most complete and best type of praise. And also in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, Allahumma innaka al-awwalu wa laysa qablaka shay. Oh Allah, you are the first. So he affirms this attribute for Allah. Then he says, wa laysa qablaka shay, and there is nothing which is before you. So then he negates an imperfection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa anta al-akhiru wa laysa ba'daka shay, and you are the last, i.e. the eternal, and there is nobody after you. So he affirms eternity for Allah, and then he negates the deficiency from Allah. Wa anta al-zahiru wa laysa fawqaka shay, and you are the highest. So he affirms this perfection for Allah, and there is nobody who is above you. So then he negates this imperfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma nahnu al-fuqara wa anta al-ghani. O Allah, we are the ones who are weak, and you are al-ghani, the one who is rich. So we affirm al-ghina for Allah, and we negate al-faqr, poverty, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, this is the best form of praise of Allah. That not only do you affirm his perfection, but at the same time you negate any imperfection from him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ, that the salah, either fard prayer and the nawafil prayer, this is nur. This is a light for a person. This is light in his heart. This is light upon his face. This is light in his grave. This is light on the day of resurrection. It will be light when the people will be gathered on Yawm al-Hashr. It is light in every single instance in a person's life. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah, he said, جَرِّبْ تَجِدْ. He said, try it and you will see. But when is it light for a person? When a person prays, not only with his body, but also with his heart. And then he said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhan, and charity is an evidence. I.e. charity is an evidence and a proof of the truthfulness of a person's iman. Why? Because every single person loves money. Every single person loves money. And a person will only give this money for something if he loves that thing. So you find, for example, investors, they invest some of their money which they love in order for them to make more money from this investment because they love more money. And therefore, when you see a person who is busy in investing his money, you know that this is an indicator of how much he loves money, because he is giving up his money to make more and more money. And same when you see a person of Iman, he gives this money which he loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he only does this because doing something for the sake of Allah is more beloved to him in his heart than that which he loves, i.e. his money. And therefore giving charity, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, burhan, it is a proof and an evidence of the iman which is in his heart. He said, وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءُ. And patience is الضِّيَاء. ضِيَاء is also light. However, there's a difference between الضِّيَاء and النور. When the Prophet spoke about الصَّلَاة, he said, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ. When he spoke about الصَّبْر, he did not say الصَّبْرُ نُور. He said الصَّبْرُ ضِيَاء. And the difference between both of them is that الضِّيَاء is light, but it contains a level of heat. Like Allah said regarding the sun. He said, جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً. That Allah has made the sun light, but it is light which emanates heat. And why did the Prophet describe as-salah as being nur, but he didn't describe as-sabr as being nur? He said as-sabr is al-diya. As Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, because as-sabr is difficult. And as-sabr, even though it illuminates the path for you, but at the same time it contains heat. It is difficult. It requires from you a great struggle and striving. And this is why the Prophet said, the salah is nur, the salah is light, because a salah is easy. But a sabr, he described it as being al-diya, i.e. light, it contains difficulty, it contains heat, it may burn a person because it requires struggle and striving. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wal Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka, that the Qur'an is either an evidence for you or it is an evidence against you. Meaning, if a person implements the Qur'an and lives by the Qur'an, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be a proof for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will intercede on your behalf in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person read the Qur'an, but he disregarded the Qur'an, and he did not implement the Qur'an, حُجَّةٌ عَلَيْهِ, then it is an evidence against him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو, that every single person wakes up early in the morning. فَبَائِعُ نَفْسَهُ, and every single person sells himself, i.e. tires himself. But the people who tire themselves, they tire themselves in two avenues, in two paths. He said, فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا, either the person frees himself or a person destroys himself. So that person who early in the morning goes out to obey Allah and worship Allah, he is freeing himself from the shackles of the fire. And that person who wakes up in the morning and goes out in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is destroying himself. So in this part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, every person is going to do actions. Every single person wakes up in the morning, and every person traverses a path. So either you can traverse the path which will give you freedom in the Akhirah, or you traverse the path which will bring you destruction in the Akhirah. Every single person is going to spend money. Now you can choose, shall I spend my money that which pleases Allah, or shall I spend my money that which displeases Allah? Every person is going to use his or her energy. So then you decide, shall I use my energy in pleasing Allah and therefore freeing myself from the shackles of Jahannam, or shall I use my energy in displeasing Allah and therefore I bring destruction upon myself? So every single person is going to do actions, and every single person is going to become old, and every single person is going to spend his money. But you have a choice. Shall I become old in the pleasure of Allah, or shall I become old in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this great hadith, it contains many, many benefits. From the benefits of this hadith is the greatness of making at-tasbih, and the greatness of making at-tahmid, and how perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This hadith, it contains the greatness of as-salah and the greatness of giving in sadaqah, and also the greatness but the difficulty of as-sabr. And also this hadith, it contains the affirmation that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the scales of justice will be sent down. And also that the Qur'an is a proof for a person or proof against a person. And also an encouragement for each person to use their energy and use their wealth and use their actions in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq to implement this hadith. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.